How many of you know how to recite Vajrasattva mantra? Can you raise your hands? So let's accumulate a bit of that while waiting for the others, yeah? Dijongi Gevo Ben Dojisen Bekuson Tola Chafelo Ben Zasadu Samaya Manopalai Ben Zasadu De Nobati Dandido Mebawa Sodo Kayo Mebawa Sobo Kayo Mebawa Anorado Mebawa Sawasiti Mebreyata Sawakama Suzame Sitam Shiriyam Kuru Ha 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 ho Bhagavan sawa da da ga da benzar ma mi mi za benzir ba ma samaya sadu om benza sadu samaya manu palai benza sadu te no ba te tan te do me ba wa so do kayo me ba wa so bo kayo me ba Anorak do me bawa sawa zidi me brayaza sawa gama suza me tzidam shiri yam kuru hong ha 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 ho baga sawa da da ga da benza mami me zan benzi bawa ma samaya sadu a om benza sadu samaya manu balai benza sadu te no bati tanti do me bawa sodo kayo me bawa sobo kayo me bawa anorado me ba sawa siti me prayata sawa kama suza me titam shiri yam kuru hung ha 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 ho bhagava sawa da da ga da benza mami mi zan benzir bawa ma samaya sadu a om benza sadu samaya Manupalaya benza sadu te no bati tanti do me bawa sodo kayo me bawa sobo kayo me bawa anorado me bawa sawa siddhi me brayaza sawa gama suza me tzidam shiri yam kuru hong ha 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 ho bhagavan sawa da da ga da benza mami me zan benzi bawa ma samaya sadu Om benza sadu samaya manupalaya benza sadu te nobati tanti do me ba sodo kayo me ba wa sobo kayo me ba wa anorado me ba wa sawa siddhi me brayaza sawa gama suza siddham shiri yam kuru hung ha 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 ho bhagavan sarva dada gada benza mami mit Om samaya sadu a om banzara sadu samaya manupalaya benza sadu de no bati tanti do me bawa sodo kayo me bawa sobo kayo me anorado me bawa sawa siddhi me brayaza sawa gama suza me tzidam shiri yam kuru hung ha 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 ho bhagavan sarva tata Benza mami mizam benzir bawa ma samaya sadu a om banza sadu samaya manu balaya benza sadu de no bati tanti do me ba sodo kayo me bawa sobo kayo me bawa anurado me bawa sawa siddhi me brayaza sawa gama suza siddham shiri yam kuru hung ha 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 ho bhagavan sawa da da ga da benza mami mizam benzir bawa Ma samaya sadu a om benza sadu samaya manupalaya benza sadu te no bati tanti do o sodo kayo me bawa sobo kayo me bawa anorado me bawa sawa siddhi me brayaza sawa gama suza siddham shiri yam kuru hung ha 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 ho bhagavan sarva dada gada benza mami Benze bawa ma samaya sadu a om benza sadu hung om benza sadu om benza sadu om benza sadu hung om benza sadu 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 hung om benza sadu om benza sadu gyawande nyurdo da doje semba rugyuro Dovajigya malibate salakubarai shu.
So those who are used to this mantra will understand what it is meant for. For those who are new to this mantra, may sound like a kookaburra. Sitting on an old gum tree, you know. Wah, wah, wah. And that is the purpose of reciting mantra, actually, so that through the practice of different mantras, and what happens is that when you get used to this mantra recitation, then after a while, maybe after a while means maybe after a few years, few months, every sound, every noise, it may be dogs barking, a crow saying craw craw, a kookaburra making sound, or pigs making sound, or the horse neighing, they all will sound like mantra. Yeah. So that all the sound becomes the natural mantra. And that is the purpose of mantra like this. Right now we have purposely created with our mind a Buddha called Vajrasattva with a female consort, so that it's Vajrasattva is not alone. and we create with our mind, this is the Buddha of purification, and by doing this mantra you purify your, you know, the negativities, obscurations, habitual tendencies, and demonic influences, all these are purified. We have this concept. And then how to do this? You recite the mantra, and then you, in the visualization, our mind created that by doing this, we actually purified this. So our mind thinks we are now purified, but it's all mind made up. So by doing this mantra, you also, all these different sounds will sound like Om Besasadu Samaya Manupalaya. Like in India, the most irritating noise is the Indian train. Not only they produce this polluted, heavily polluted smoke, but also this awful sound. But once you are used to this mantra concept, even they may be singing the best mantra that you like to hear. So that outside sounds or the noises will not bother you anymore, because you have changed your attitude towards these different sounds and so-called the noises. So that is the purpose of mantra. And some of my lamas also told me the purpose of mantra is transforming our ordinary gossiping, especially gossiping about our neighbors, you know, whatever, into divine gossip, so that it doesn't have any attachment, or it doesn't have any anger and hatred, or it doesn't have this competitive desire, you know. So that is the purpose of the mantras. Yeah. Apart from that, there's no other reason. And another thing is, mantras are also purely made up by our mind. We think they are holy, so they become holy. We think something else is unholy, they become unholy. Yeah. So that is important to recognize. So even the emotions, as today's the topic is, how to transform the emotions into compassion. But I think the more appropriate topic would be how to transform emotions into wisdoms. But doesn't matter. Whatever title, topic you might give, I will be telling you the same thing anyway. So thank you for coming. It's very nice to see you. It's my second time in Armadale, and I'm already feeling so homely here, you know, and you've got lots of space, and I heard you have got enough water to last for next 3 years. Yeah. So there's very good reasons to come here. Yeah. You want to do the introduction? Yeah.
I'd like to welcome you all here today. Tonight's teaching, we'll be giving weekend teachings. I've actually put a little bit of information up on the board in case Tomorrow we're giving a 3-day healing empowerment here at the centre, and that commences at 10 a.m. To about 5 p.m. Morning and afternoon food will be provided, and you can be shared for lunch. And on Sunday we show the teaching poem, how to transfer consciousness at the time of death, and also church teaching. At Bowery, very bottom of the road, if you'd like some directions, please come to myself or Michael, who has the best messaging. Thank you. But yet again, that will commence at 10 o'clock in the morning. You guys are about 4. Morning and afternoon tea will also be provided, and you can participate to share. Tonight, as Carmen has already introduced, we'll be talking about how to transform our nation's into wisdom. You can please join me to welcome.
So I thought that since some of you are new to Buddhism, so maybe I thought I'll share with you some simple breathing techniques which doesn't have any names or levels, labels. So anybody can use this, apply this. Even the communist can use this to relax and calm down because they are beyond labels and names. So one of the breathing techniques that we use is the meditation is just sit quietly, and the most important thing for the beginners is to sit straight. We have a saying in Tibetan that if your body is straight, then all the energy channels, the wind channels, and the other channels or fluid channels becomes straight. When the channels become straight, after keeping the body straight, then the flow of energy, the flow of the wind, the flow of essential fluid. Here the essential fluid means the white bodhicitta drop or seminal fluid from the father, and the red bodhicitta drop, the red drop from the mother. So that also flows freely. And once this flows freely in the straight channels by keeping the body straight, then our mind becomes straight. And once our mind becomes straight, our mind also becomes clear and can see everything very clearly, vividly, just like the vultures flying really high up in the sky and have this the whole view about what is there, you know. So that is the purpose. And once your mind becomes clear and mind becomes straight, then even though you may not wish to be compassionate, but your natural innate compassion naturally arises and you recognize that. In that kind of innate compassion, you also recognize the ultimate reality of your mind. It is there, yet it is not there. It is not there, yet it is there. Like the rainbow. If you look at the rainbow, it appears like this pair of flags in the rainbow colors almost. All the colors are there, vivid, bright, beautiful. But if you go there and try to catch the rainbow, you can't catch it. But by not being able to catch it, you can't say it doesn't exist. It still exists, that's why it appears. Not only it appears so attractive, actually, that we get deceived. As one of the greatest Tibetan woman masters of 11th century, Machig Labdrun, she taught that you look inside. You look inside. If you look inside and go inner and inner, inner, inner and inner, and find out what is there to look at. And the result will be there's nothing to look at. Yeah. You will not find anything. Nothing to look at. But now you started looking outside. And then everything appears just like this. Just like you, all smiling faces, full of energy, full of life, full of luster, you know. And also like this prayer flags, like this building. It all Dalame means just like the Chinese silk, you know, when you look at the Chinese silk, it's very bright and shining. You will not miss it. So such is the nature of the mind. It is not there, yet it is there. It is there, yet it is not there. You know, you understand? So that is what we meant by the innate compassion. In that innate compassion, you feel, usually when we say compassion, it is something like there's a Tibetan prayer. The definition of compassion is like, this, you see somebody suffering from something, and then you wish to help that being out of that suffering, and that is called compassion. Yeah. And the, hi Maxim, how are you doing? Yeah. When I see you, it takes me back to some 30 years where you used to play guitar. And one time I asked her to teach me guitar. She said, I'll teach you, and I'll give you the guitar only if you learn it. And I never learned. So I never got her guitar. Maxim served as a nurse in a Tibetan refugee school for a couple of years. And I finished my high school at that time. I also volunteered for about 6 months, working in the same dispensary, actually. It was not a hospital, it was a dispensary. It's good to see you, Maxim. Yeah, good. So what I was saying, I'm sorry. I got, see. Yes, I'm not being mindful, you know, because there's no hidden camera here. That's why. No hidden camera, no fine. That's what's happening with me now. I'm going astray. What was that? Can you tell me? What was I saying? No, you were telling me. Yes, compassion. And the love, love is defined as loving. In Tibetan, actually, champa is the name, Tibetan term for love. And we just don't say love, we say loving kindness. These two words are together. And that is defined as simjen thamje dewa dan dewe kyudang denbar kyuchi dunghe dewa dan dewe kyudang denbar kyuchi. That is, you're wishing happiness for everyone. And that is the meaning of love. And when you wish everyone to be free from suffering, that is the meaning of compassion. Yeah, almost same, actually. It's like the same thing. I mean, two sides of the same coin, actually. And they are always together, like a nice new couple. Yeah, who just got married last month. Do not know each other quite well. Yeah. Yet. And then we combine the loving kindness and the compassion with another practice called joy or sympathetic joy. It's being translated in different ways in different English books. What it means is
these are the nursery rhymes I learned when I was in a kindergarten.
Very useful now. So this is a wish where the human beings or sentient beings are free, not only free from suffering, but they're already enjoying happiness, so you wish even more happiness, more success, more achievement. You know, you simply rejoice instead of feeling jealous or instead of feeling this competitiveness, you know. You just simply rejoice in somebody's success. You simply rejoice in somebody's new expensive car, let's say. You know? So that kind of expressing joy or rejoicing in others' success without feeling jealousy, and that is called joy or sympathetic joy. And now these three are combined with the third practice. This is like one package, you know, like when you go on a tour, there's a whole package. This is like one package. And the fourth package is the equanimity. That means showing or wishing same love and compassion towards those whom we label as friends and relatives, and also showing same equal love and compassion towards those people we label as enemies, and also showing same genuine love and compassion towards those people who are neither your enemies nor your friends. They are like neutral. So when you can have this kind of a universal, unbiased, impartial attitude towards everybody, irrespective of who they are, and that is called equanimity. And these four practices come under so-called four immeasurable practices, or four boundless practices, or what are they? Immeasurable, boundless. There's another word. Temeba. Can you think of another word? What's that? Limitless. That's it. Thank you. What's your name? Yeah, Emilia. That's right. Limitless. Limitless. For limitless practices, or for immeasurables, or for boundless practices. So when you practice all together, or if you want to practice one by one, then it is very important first to practice the immeasurable equanimity. And the reason is so that when we actually practice the immeasurable love and immeasurable compassion, we would have already developed this unbiased attitude. A good example of unbiased attitude or impartial love, impartial compassion, is the precious sun. When the sun shines, it shines over everybody equally, isn't it? If the sun is not shining, means sun is still shining, it's just the clouds which is obscuring, which is blocking the sun. The sun shines on the communists, the sun shines on the Democrat, it shines on the Republicans, it shines on the everybody. It doesn't say, oh, I like to shine only on Tibetans and not Chinese, you know. It doesn't make any of these distinctions whatsoever. Yeah. Likewise, another good example of impartial compassion is the great trees, you know. If you're feeling very hot, all you do is you go under a tree, and the tree gives shade or the coolness to everyone who comes under that tree. It doesn't make any distinction whatsoever, whether you're a human being, or whether you're an animal, or whether you're a bird, or whether you are highly realized, or whether you're just a cowboy or a cowgirl, you know. It doesn't care. It doesn't make any distinction. Anybody who goes under the tree gets the same coolness, freshness. So that, if we can develop that kind of an attitude, and that is what we meant by immeasurable. And we say that such an attitude, even if you put all the wealth of the world together, it can't balance out. Still, that is heavier. That kind of attitude is more heavy than all the wealth of the world on one scale. So that's how precious these practices are. And now I will give you a few classic Tibetan Buddhist examples or stories or analogies. What is the meaning of the four immeasurable qualities? Let's see. Immeasurable loving kindness. So the immeasurable loving kindness, immeasurable sympathetic joy, immeasurable equanimity or impartiality. One analogy here, one living analogy about the immeasurable equanimity is that if you ever come to India, so please try to go to Amritsar, to the Golden Temple. Have you been to the Golden Temple, anyone? If you go there, One amazing thing is they have got first this 500 rooms where any pilgrim can stay, or you can call yourself pilgrim, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, but that qualifies you to stay there if you call yourself a pilgrim. Can stay there for free for 3 days, plus they have a free kitchen which is known as langar, and it is open 24 hours for last 400 years uninterrupted. Yeah. And you go there, and what is the most amazing part is not only they provide this free food 24 hours, 365 days a year, but also that you get a plate, stainless steel plate, you get a stainless steel mug for water, you get a stainless steel spoon, and everybody, irrespective of who you are, whether you are Dalai Lama or whether you are just a rickshaw wala, whatever, everybody sit on the same ground, same level. Everybody gets the same dal, same rice, same chapati. Everybody gets the same water into the similar glasses. There's no such thing called higher or lower or special seating place or unspecial, you know, normal seating place. Everyone is treated equally once you are inside that eating place. So sometimes you may be eating with as many as 1,000 pilgrims. 1,000 at the bottom, 1,000 on the top. They can accommodate up to, I think, 2,000 people at a time. And then you get up, of course, and then there's a place where you keep the plate and the spoon. And this whole temple is functioned on the basis of volunteers, completely out of their heart. And that's one place I thought, oh, this is really real immeasurable equanimity, a good example of this. So if you can have that kind of attitude, and that is the meaning of immeasurable equanimity. Now I made some notes. It says that Jongwe Tsene Dakshin Danyenyam. And how do you practice this? And is immeasurable equanimity? Here it says, even the Buddha Shakyamuni, or the historical Buddha who came to India some 2,600 years ago, he had mentioned in a sutra called 20,000 Verses, Panchaparamita, and there he told his one of his closest disciples called Ramjol in Tibetan, and Saputi in Sanskrit language, I think, or Pali language, he said, Saputi or Ramjol, Kyoki Simje Tamjela Penzu Nyamshi Nyombe Simsuju. And Buddha told Ramjol, you look at all the sentient beings as equal. Therefore, show the same attitude towards everybody, all sentient beings. So this equanimity was much emphasized by the historical Buddha himself in these teachings. And one of the reasons why this is so important is that one thing is very clear. What we all want is happiness, some sort of bliss, more comfort, and more, you know, more praise, some positive words, some soothing words, you know, a little bit of positive stroke, a little bit of like this, a little bit of hug, you know, a little bit of cuddle, a little bit of massage. That's what we need. We want, we desire for such things. That is natural in ourselves. Like I'm sure Maxim knows very well, she is a nurse who delivers many babies. Maxim, if I'm wrong, just tell me. Most of the time when the babies are born, they're born not like a smiling and laughing, they're born like what it means, I'm cold, so please give me some clothes, I'm hungry, love me, care for me. So this is a natural instinct in us ever since we are born, actually. Yeah, that being cared for by someone and being, you know, love and affection and attention, you know. We need all the time. And I don't think we ever get over that, even we we are in 90s or when we reach 100 years, I think we still need to depend. We have to depend on others' kindness. There's no other way. How independent we might think, actually, but we have to depend on others' kindness. For example, the cloth we all are wearing, I'm sure none of us made this cloth ourselves. Somebody else made it, isn't it, for us? Somebody dyed it, somebody stitched it, somebody cut it, somebody transported it, and somebody put this zip, you know, so that it's as comfortable as possible. And why? Because they have done it for us. You know, we might think, oh, we just paid money and bought it. But then if you have all the money and if you have no clothing to buy, what are you going to do? If there's, you know, if you have all the money and no food, we can't eat money, we can't wear. Although in India during the wedding they wear money, kind of money shirt or something, you know, just to attract more wealth. But that's only once in a while. But most of the time we have to depend on someone's kindness. Yeah, all the countries depend on each other. We depend, the individuals depend on each other. The children depend on parents. Parents again depend on children when they become old. At least it's true in Asia, in India, in Tibetan. Yeah, we say, oh, it's good to have more children. We have a saying, at least one of them will give some hot water when we need, when we are old. So that is the natural instinct in us. And all throughout our life, we always depend on somebody's kindness. In the beginning, the parents' kindness. You know, they fed us, they looked after us. Even when we are inside the mother's womb, I often hear in the West people saying they hate their mother, they hate their father. And I said, remember, at least the mother kept you inside the mother's womb for 9 days. I'm sorry. That will be too short. 9 days will be too short. Yeah, that's right. Then it will be full of people. 9 months, 10 days. At least they kept you, and they had all the freedom to just get rid of you very easy. Just in India, just pay 100 rupee here and there, and you are off. It's done, you know. But they didn't do that. They kept you. And during the time when you're in mother's womb, imagine that she must have given up, for example, hot chili if she usually eats, because it might hurt you. Or she might have, you know, avoided going to big parties and all, because that might make the child tired. And she might have even eaten something which she normally doesn't like, but it's good for the baby inside. So just think of all this trouble the mother went through. And I'm sure there the father has to also agree, although there are irresponsible fathers in all societies, you know. Their job only seems to be make baby and run away and never to be seen again. Yeah, that happens too, but most of the time, both parents really, these days, especially these days, when it's all earning money, 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 everything has to do with the money and costing and bills after bills, you have to really sit together and plan and discuss, isn't it? Really prepare thoroughly before you have a child. So just visualize and meditate how much trouble your parents have gone through. And then you have grown up, you know, and the parents have looked after you every day, especially the mother. And that's where I understood when I got my child. This often in the Buddhist scriptures, you never find a term called father sentient beings. You always find mother sentient beings. Yeah. And finally I understood that mother is 24 hours with the child. Yeah. The father may boast, oh, I'm working, I'm earning money, this, that, but taking care of the baby is far more difficult, because it means you have to sacrifice your sleep, you have to sacrifice this, that. That's what it means. Whereas the father's going here and then attending meetings and maybe with another woman and who knows what's going on these days. But mother is all the time there, even every step the mother is watching where the baby is putting the step. Then you grow, and then parents, although The parents may not be earning enough money, still they try to send you to the best, most expensive school, you know, often maybe giving up their cigarettes or a bottle of wine, or Saturday eating outside in a restaurant. And then the child grows, and then when the children reach around 14, 15, then the parents again worry about what kind of partner they might get, you see. So how much the parents care for us. So recognize that. And that will be the single reason to repay the kindness of your parents, starting with your parents. And one of the best way to repay their kindness is make them happy, just as they made you happy. And, you know, bring them some flowers, write them, call your parents, especially when your parents are sick, make sure that you devote your time. Often I was asked in the West, what do you think is the best thing we can do in the West for someone? And I genuinely, personally think in the West, the best thing you can do for someone is to spend time with that person. Yeah, to spend time. In the East, to give money, not spend time. Plenty of time. Actually, we are spending too much time together and we end up fighting. Just give some money and then go away. That's fine. But in the West, you have to spend time. Spend time. Make time. Make that a priority, especially to meet your parents in their old age, you know, when they really need you. And all they need is probably all they need from you is just they're so happy to sit just next to you and just talk. It may be a very silly thing, but it's fine. Doesn't matter really at the end of the day when we just end up on the bed, you know. Unless we have killed some or something really bad thing we have done, it really doesn't matter what you have done in the day. You just end up on the pillow and the bed and that's all. Yeah. So, and since we all are decent people, we all are gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, we must think of how to repay the kindness of your parents, and that is through love and compassion, as we have discussed before. Another instinct we all have ever since we are born is not wishing to suffer. We don't want to suffer. We all want to be free from sufferings, free from pain, free from miseries, free from any kind of itching, you know, free from any kind of burning sensation. So that is same for you, it is same for me, it is same for Tibetans, same for Chinese, same for Democrats in America, same for Republicans in America. There's no difference at all whatsoever. But the sad thing is that most of the time, sad thing is what we wish for is happiness, but what we are doing is exactly the thing that which will bring more suffering. Yeah. And what we don't want is suffering, but we are doing exactly what will bring more suffering. Yeah. So this is because of this reason you also feel compassion, and you think of ways and means to help them, to teach them or to show them what causes us to be happy, what causes us to be suffering. So that's the important thing. Now how you practice this, it says that first you start with one person, this equanimity, or the immeasurable love, whether it is loving kindness, whether it is compassion, you start with one person. And according to the Buddhism, it's always good to start with so-called your own enemy. Because once you can start to show love and compassion to your enemies, it's very easy with other people, you know. It's naturally follows. So it says first start with one person, then when you are able to show love, compassion, not only you wish, but you actually help that person in action, and then you extend this to two persons, then three people, Like that, you slowly, slowly. And then the whole population of Armidale. Then you can extend it to the neighboring Igbo, yeah? Igbo and Dorigo and Belenjin, Hobbs Harbor, you know, Lismore, Ballina, all those places. You can extend. And then you can extend to the whole New South Wales. Then you can extend it to whole Australia. Then to Australia, India, Asia, you know, America, South America, North America. Then we can extend it to the other universes. Maybe there are living beings in other universes. We never know. So like that, slowly, slowly you meditate that way. So that you become very courageous. So it is all pervading, just like the sun and the tree. Now it says, what are the signs that you have accomplished equanimity? And it says in the text, you will have a feeling that you and others are actually equal and same. You will also generate a feeling where enemies, friends, those who are between enemies and friends, after all, they're all same people. What we all want is happiness. What we all don't want is suffering. So that way, you practice immeasurable equanimity. It took me a long time to say this word, equanimity. Am I saying correctly? Yeah. Yeah. And now next is the immeasurable loving kindness or immeasurable love. And the Tibetan word for immeasurable love, loving kindness is chamba. Chamba. We have a saying in Tibetan, chambuche means show your love. And one of the ways the Tibetan mothers show love to their kid is, you know, apply some mustard oil and putting it on the kid's head, chambuche. That action is called chambuche, you know. You feel the kid, you know, secure, like there's someone really taking care of you, that kind of a thing. That is the Tibetan meaning. In fact, that in Buddhism, it says there would be like 1,000 Buddhas appearing in this eon, and four Buddhas have already come. And the next Buddha would be known as Chamba, or the Buddha of loving kindness. Yeah. And interestingly, the next Buddha, the future Buddha, the fifth Buddha, is sitting in Western style sittings, just like you, sitting in the chair. And with extremely compassionate gaze, you know, eyes, like, here I am. I'm ready to get up and come to the earth. That kind of a feeling you get when you look at the loving kindness, the future Buddha. And it has given an analogy. I think I gave the same analogy last time. Are there any Germans here? No Germans, okay. Analogy. And the one analogy is the expression of loving kindness is when you look at the birds, you know. When the birds, before they lay an egg, what they do is they look for small branches of trees, pick them up one by one with their beaks and transport them many days. And once they make this rough kind of a house or a nest, then they pick up, you know, more smooth ones like hay or the straw. One by one, many days, they make it more cozy, yeah. And then they look for cotton or wool or something very smooth, isn't it? Then they make sure that no outside enemies can come in and attack. And only then they lay egg or eggs. Yeah. And then they sit on the egg. When I watched this National Geographic this show on the penguins, it's really amazing. Did you see penguins? They keep the eggs on there. The father keeps the egg on there, you know, where the mother goes and feed, quite long distance actually. I think it's many days before the mother comes back. And all this time the egg is never touching the snow, it's right there under the fur. Really, And then at last the father shows up, then they pass it on to the father, like a football, you know. Then it's father's duty and mother goes and feed for many days. It's quite long where they go. It's really amazing when you watch the birds and it clearly tells us what is the meaning of true love with no conditions, isn't it? Just pure giving, really amazing. And that is one of the practices we have in Tibetan Buddhism, a practice called Tonglen. Tong means give, Len means take. And what you give is you give your happiness, you give your success, you give your comfort, you give your name, you give your life force, you give anything good thing you have, you give to others, you know, generously, without having any grasping or attachment onto it. Just simply give and give and give and give. And we do it through, again, the breathing exercises. As you breathe out, the air that you are exhaling, that air is the symbol of whatever good thing you have, including your good health, long life, life force, your radiance, everything you give to the others. And what you take in when you inhale is the other's suffering that you voluntarily take upon yourself. I think just as, isn't that right, when Jesus Christ was crucified, isn't it? At least in Jesus Christ's mind thought that he absorbed all the sufferings and the sins of the whole world, isn't it? Although the suffering does still exist somehow, but at least that was what Jesus Christ thought, isn't it? He took all the sins. So that was a good example of taking the other suffering voluntarily and very happily and joyfully. So in this simple practice, sometimes it also practiced when you exhale white-colored light rays. When you inhale, the black-colored light rays. So what does it mean is by giving, you're actually giving your loving kindness. You're giving your love. By happily, joyfully, voluntarily absorbing or taking others' suffering on you, what it means is you're practicing immeasurable compassion. So in this simple breathing technique, you're practicing loving kindness and compassion. And this is called Tonglen. And this is a very popular Buddhist mind training of loving kindness and compassion. So maybe you can try. Don't worry, it's not going to, if you absorb others, it's not going to affect you, especially when it's a volunteer thing. Yeah. In fact, I have learned through my own experiences that if you help, say, 10 people, in times of your needs, when you need others' help, out of 10, at least 3 will come and help you. Yeah, that's for sure. I can guarantee you that. Yeah. If no one is helping you out of 10, just write me and I will come and help you. Your statement is wrong. I helped 10. No one is helping me now. That's what His Holiness Dalai Lama calls that, you know, yeah, smart selfishness. If you are smartly selfish, then you help others, because others will definitely help you. I often thought about this in India. We have washing machines, but still most of the Indians wash their clothes with hand. And the intention is to wash the cloth, isn't it? Not to wash the hand. But what becomes most clean is their own hands. So that's what happens. When you help others, who benefits most is you yourself. Maybe not in terms of money or clothing or food, but this great satisfaction, which you can't buy in any of these supermarkets or the malls or, you know, or the eBay. Yeah. That's what you get. And that is so precious, this satisfaction. And when you get satisfaction, then you can truly relax and rest, you know. I'm sure you all have gone through that experience. Yeah. And a great Indian master called Shantideva, and he mentioned what is the meaning of loving kindness. He said, when you look at others, when you look at someone, when you look at people, when you look at dogs, when you look at monkeys, birds, wherever you are looking at, kangaroos, says, look at them with open, loving heart. And that is the meaning of immeasurable loving kindness. Yeah. So now, next is immeasurable compassion. And the prayer is, may all beings be free from sufferings. That is the prayer, Buddhist prayer. Yeah. And that is the meaning of compassion. And the Tibetan word for compassion is two words, nying je. Nying means heart. And je means big heart. And that is the Tibetan term for compassion. And the analogy, the classic analogy for compassion, is it was said that there was a mother once upon a time. She had a baby, but she didn't have hands. I saw this morning when we went to see the Aboriginal dance, there was a baby with no hands. Did you see? Yeah. But he or she was completely at peace. I looked at the baby's face. Yeah, really like very peaceful and just watching everybody like this. And she didn't have both hands. Yeah. You know the baby? Yeah. So there was a mother like that, had a baby, and she was carrying the baby with no hands and walking next to a creek or a river, let's say, and all of a sudden somehow the baby fell into the river, so the river started carrying the baby downstream. And then imagine how much compassion that handless mother had towards her baby. So if we can generate that kind of compassion towards everyone, towards your enemy, your friends, and those who are neutral to you, then that is the meaning of immeasurable compassion. And let's see if any great masters of the past said anything about immeasurable compassion. Ningji, do not make no. Yeah, it also the loving kindness and compassion, according to another great master, Tibetan master called Zapadri Rinpoche. In Tibet, all Tibet, many rich families had servants. So often people mistreat the servants. So immeasurable loving kindness, compassion means showing the same loving kindness towards your servants and animals, and it says right down to the humblest watchdog. Dogs in Tibet are quite sad. I was in Tibet in December, January. They're always chained up on a short chain, and never. This is one thing I really want to appeal to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and they're just there 24 hours. Very bad, actually. And there we're all doing this hand, doing a mala or mani peme hong, and this we have a prayer wheel, you know, we are saying the mantra Buddha of compassion, this poor dog, 24 hours chained. So I've seen that also, yeah. So that's no wonder the Lama mentions this specifically, that we must be kind right down to the humblest watchdog. Then this is my favorite thing, one of the greatest Indian master called the great Atisha, who came to Tibet in, I think, 14th century. He lived and died in Tibet near Lhasa. And according to him, the meaning of loving kindness and the compassion is, he says, to be kind to those who have come from afar. So in Tibet, those times, we didn't have shops, we didn't have restaurants. You always have to depend on someone's kindness for some food, some tea, some roof. So anyone may just knock at your door. Just open the door and let them in. Give some hot tea, you know, some hot porridge, and give them a nice place to sleep, some warm blanket. So that is good practice of compassion and kindness. And then also great Atisha says, I think this is very relevant to everybody, everywhere, to those who have been ill for a long time. So it's when we hear someone sick, admitted, hospitalized, we all feel, you know, sorry and compassionate. So we all rush down with the flowers and fruits. And then when that person becomes sick and bedridden for a long time, then less and less and less people come in. And there are many people who even say something like, I wish she should die, he should die, you know. It's too much for her, too much for us. And even things like that slips through our tongue, you know, without really thinking seriously, without thinking that person could be me and you tomorrow, you know, then how would you feel, you know? So think in that way. So also taking care of ill person for a long time. So make it a point in the calendar, you know, on Tuesday I go and see this person with some flowers and make it a priority. And that is the true meaning of Dharma practice. That is the true meaning of good Buddhist, good Christian. I'm sure it is the true meaning of good communist too, taking care of comrades, you know, when they are sick for a long time. Yeah. Then also great Atisha says, the true loving kindness also means taking care of our parents in their old age. So that's very important. Again, there I've also seen in Tibetan society, there are children who wish their parents die soon because it's too much to look after, or they want to inherit the parents' lifelong hard-worked earnings, you know, like this, and go here and go there and buy most expensive car and all those fantasies we build up. So we have to be mindful about these things as well. So taking care of your parents, very important. And another great Indian master who lived and died in Tibet also really emphasized and said that do not make old people distressed, look after them with care and respect. So these are the advices from some of the greatest, highly realized, enlightened beings on this earth, you know. So they didn't say, oh, you meditate for your parents. They're saying, you know, you have to take care of your parents. You have to do something about it, not just meditating, just sitting like a statue, you know. So compassion. Now the sympathetic joy. Let's see what it says. And sympathetic joy analogy here given is, it is said that among all the beings, especially among all the animals, the camels love their baby most. Yeah, it is said. Yeah. So it was said that there was a mother camel, baby camel, going together grazing, and after a while the baby camel wandered off, and the mother soon realized the baby is missing. So she went everywhere searching for her, you know, lovely baby. And at last she found the baby. And how joyful she was to find the baby. So if you can express that kind of a joyful over others, long life, good health, a new house, good friends, promotion, you know, all those things. And that is the true meaning of sympathetic joy. So instead of feeling joys, feeling jealous, feeling envy, you can transform that jealousy or envy into a sympathetic joy. And genuine joy, not just, you know, often in Tibetan we pretend we are expressing joy, but inside we are thinking something else. So that would be cheating oneself. Often we do, you know, we use the smile for Buddha of Compassion's mantra, Om Mani Padme, Om Mani Padme. But what all I may be counting is how much money I have in the bank or something, you know. Or I've got something to sell and how much I will sell it for and how much profit I'm getting. I'm already counting the profit before I sold the things. So that is not really the right way to do.